to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
Was there ever any doubt when the fear is on the inside? Don't forget to pull me out. We're the same.
This is Joe Calderon from Lightworker, and you're listening to The Ragman Show. Horns up.
Dating the new girl, everybody knows about it. You know, they know my love life. You guys are, all right, Ragman, whatever. What now? What now? My latest dilemma is I'm trying to figure out when it's okay to go pee in front of my girlfriend, or at least leave off the mute button when I go to take a leak. Because we're both doing that. And at some point, you gotta wonder, how comfortable are we to where we can share the sound of urine together? I make jokes to her all the time. She goes, I got to pee. I got to pee too. Let's go to the restroom together. You spread your legs and I'll pee in between the V, and then we're saving water. It's like an ecosystem thing that I'm trying to do. I'm trying to save the earth, people. I'm going green by saving water. But she's not bought into that idea yet. But another thing, too, is I'm wondering, you know, when is it okay to fart? Oh, nice sound effect, John.
You're welcome.
When can you fart in front of her? I dated a girl one time. She's like, hey, what's wrong with you? You don't fart. You don't burp. What's wrong with you? Are you like a robot or something? I was like, no, I'm not a robot. I do stop.
Oh, it feels scared to fart. I mean, you're scared to fart, so I backed up. You know what cures that?
What cures farting? I think we all have gas. It depends on what we're eating that could influence our bowels to want to get rid of the gas or whatever.
Get a colonoscopy weekly. My advice.
Well, your advice sucks because I hate the prep, and I don't want stuff shoved up my ass weekly.
You'd be surprised.
Surprised about what?
I gotta go take a shit.
He just says he doesn't shit or fart, but here he is taking a shit. We know what that means. Why he's gone, not interrupting the show. I've got my friend Joe Calderon from Lightworker joining me, my co-host, a first on the Ragman Show, a rock and roll guy that is going to come in and sit in the co-host chair that was once filled by Genghis and be my co-host tonight. And we're going to talk music. We may talk farting and pissing. I don't know where this is going, but we're going to talk about his great new record that's going to be coming out here in April. So, Joe, before we jump into music, can you please chime in on this debate that I'm having with myself and John, that now he's in the toilet? what is the proper time?
Anytime, man. If she's cool and she's for you, she's going to be down, you know? They say love you inside and out. I mean, farts are inside, so, like, you got to get them out, so you got to, you know, I mean, you just roll with the punches, you know? So, I mean, that's the way I look at it, but I'm also single, so what does that tell you?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you a funny story real quick, and probably no one wants to hear this, probably you is included, but my ex-wife, we got to the point where you could, you know, pee at the door open, all that stuff, but she would call me, and I'd be saying, hey, I'm at work, whatever. She goes, oh, hey, what are you doing? It's like, I'm working. Yeah, I'm glad you're working hard. I was like, are you taking a shit? She goes, yeah. I was like, how did you know? I was like, you're grunting on the phone. I don't want to hear that. Finish up, wash your hands, and then give me a buzz back. And we'll all be happy that way. Oh, you don't love me because you don't want to hear me poop. I'm like, oh, okay. So, Joe, that's a red flag if you meet someone that wants to call you while they're shitting.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's intense.
That's intense. Well, hey, man, I want to congratulate you on the two new singles you guys have just put out, Burn Scar and First Light, that are coming from the brand new record, The Beautiful Decay, out on April 19, 2024, on Solid State Records. Before we jump into that, though, sir, let's talk about the last record, Fury by Failure, a great record. I loved it. That's how I discovered you. What would you say the main differences between Fury and Decay are, the big differences between the two records?
Yeah, I would say that first record, we wrote it as kind of a compilation of what the band could do. I think a lot of bands, when they release a record, a lot of people kind of expect the band to sound like that throughout their entire career. And with that in mind, we decided to kind of throw the kitchen sink at it and just, you know, do everything, every style that we enjoy, from heavy music, everything from like hard rock to some genty influences to you know, some more experimental stuff and progressive stuff to just, you know, metalcore, that the, you know, traditional sounding metalcore. And, you know, we just kind of threw the kitchen sink at it, letting people know, like, hey, this is kind of what you can expect from us. And then with How the Beautiful Decay, we decided to go heavier. Before we wrote a single note of the record, we decided that we wanted it to be something that definitely leaned more metal, more aggressive, and in it was one of those things where it was just kind of like, okay, like, so that way we don't have to like or feel the pressure of like, oh, you know, we wrote this really cool kind of ballady song, but is that something that people would expect from us? It's like, hey, that first record has it all. So, you know, going into the future, you know, like there aren't going to be like crazy surprises. You know, but yeah, How the Beautiful Decay is just definitely an angrier, faster, heavier record. I think we definitely learned a lot about ourselves and songwriting on that one. Just trying to push it to that next level, sonically, lyrically, and I guess even kind of emotionally, to be honest.
Nice. Well, it sounds like on Fury, you guys, I get your first record, but you had an EP before that. It sounds like the band was just kind of trying to discover themselves. Like, what do we really want to be? We can do this style, this style, this style. And then it sounds like you locked into more of the heavier stuff, at least for the new record. So would you say for the new record that that's kind of the point? It's like, we like this heavy stuff. We still mix in the melodies and stuff like that. And I will say, the songs that I've heard, there's some brutal shit going on, and I love it, man. I really love it. But I guess my question is, for the new record, did you write anything that might have been more Fury related that you said, okay, let's put this to the side for now? It's not going to fit on Decay?
That's a really good question, and thank you for the kind words. So there are a couple of songs that definitely have the feel of Fury on the new record. I think there's one or two. But just like a little bit more refined and a little more aggressive. We didn't really realize that it kind of had that feel until the songs were completely, you know, done. And we were just kind of like, hey, that kind of sounds like something that you would find on the prior record, which is great because, I mean, that's kind of where we started. That's kind of our foundation, right? No B-sides, but, of the 10 songs, I would definitely say there's going to be one or two that if you enjoyed kind of like, I guess, a little bit more of the... if you need a little bit of a breather during the double bass pummeling and whatnot, you'll definitely find a little bit of respite throughout the record. And as you heard on songs like Burn Scar, which was our second single off of Decay, you know, there's definitely still the pretty parts and the melodies and whatnot. So hopefully it's just all elevated. You know, it's just catchier, heavier, it just pummels you. And just by gauging the reaction of what we've been seeing live, it seems like people like getting slightly pummeled in their ears. So we're pretty stoked.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I guess Fury came out 4 years ago. So it's taken about 4 years to get the new record out. How long have you been writing for Decay?
Shoot. That had been quite a while. We actually do have kind of a 6-chapter mini documentary that's going to be coming out. That's going to be covering some of them. If I'm going to be honest, writing How the Beautiful Decay was the most difficult collection of songs that Grayson, our guitarist, and I have ever been a part of. He suffered a major bout of writer's block. And what ended up happening is, like, I sing for the band, but I also co-write a good chunk of the music as well. But I'm more of a parts guy. I'll write like, hey, I'll write on guitar, you know, the verse and then a chorus idea. And then he usually comes in and then just swoops in and finishes up the song, maybe adjusts the riffs a little bit. I really had to take it upon myself and to actually push myself even harder for ideas to get the record going, because we had studio time booked and we're just like, oh shit, like we gotta make sure that, you know, we've got like a solid foundation going into the studio. And so I had a handful of ideas, and Burn Scar was actually one of them. I had a couple of parts that were written there, and but I would say it took about two to two and a half years to write the record. The record's actually been done a while, but of course, you know, the music in the music industry, you know, there's different things that you've got to be cognizant of. So so it's been done for a little while, but you know, April was the time that made sense for us and the label, and we think it's going to be worth the wait. So yeah.
Well, I tell you what, before we jump into the beer of the show, why don't we talk about Burn Scar a little bit? I got to say, I really dig that. I love both songs. Burn Scar is probably my favorite right now. I like how it starts off kind of slow, and then there's that really cool riff that Grayson's doing. And it's kind of like mid-tempo, but there's some parts that get pretty damn brutal, too. So Joe sent me the lyrics to this song. So Ragman did his homework a little bit. He read the lyrics over and over again, listened to the song several times. And this is kind of the meaning I got. So tell me if I'm close lyrically with what you were writing and what you were thinking when you wrote the lyrics. Sure. I thought the meaning had something to do with what we were going through in the pandemic. And it also mixed with government corruption, almost. Things that I got was maybe the government was blowing smoke up our ass a bit. And there's a little bit of corruption there, as well as people dying and all this horrible stuff that was going on during the pandemic. Am I close?
I would preface this. I think people are going to interpret lyrics the way that they kind of need to for themselves to kind of, you know, help them get through stuff. You know, one of my favorite artists on, actually my favorite band on the whole entire planet is Jimmy Eat World. And which is completely different from what we sound like, of course.
Oh yeah, that's interesting, yeah.
But you know, and Jim's lyrics are you know, he clearly has his personal meanings and attachments to them, and you know, but they're I guess vague enough for me to kind of pick up and you know, apply my meaning to it. And I obviously know he has his you know, meaning attached to it, and then I have mine, and it's always very interesting to hear how people interpret it. So I really thank you for taking the time to read it and kind of digest it, and it's interesting to see what you came up with. So, but with that being said, the mindset behind the songs were actually, it does touch a little bit on the pandemic. And mainly, it touches on how there was, I think, a lot of hypocrisy from people, especially folks that might claim, you know, a set of thoughts or ideals and whatnot. And they have no problem with, you know, other folks having their rights or voices taken away. But, you know, but they don't see that hypocrisy, you know. Mm-hmm. And I believe, especially if you're a religious person, you know, it's best to kind of, recuse yourself from a lot of that political stuff and mainly focus on, you know, taking care of other people, especially if that's what, you believe the good book says. And, you know, regardless of, you know, race, creed, gender, whatever, you know, I mean, it's like at the end of the day, if shit were to hit the fan and in the whole city, it was just you and another person that had a completely different mindset surrounded by zombies, let's say, you guys got to depend on each other to get through it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of people seem to forget that we're actually quite privileged in our society, that things are actually, you know, pretty well organized, even during the pandemic. And it's just like, you know, regardless of what you believed, it was just like, hey, everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a background. I think the best thing that we could do is show a little understanding and try to bridge that gap and recognize that, yeah, the powers that be sometimes, a lot of times, don't have our best interest in mind, regardless if you believe this or that. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I've been watching a lot of the World War II miniseries, you know, Band of Brothers, Masters of the Air, and the Pacific, and just seeing like the variety of different kinds of guys, backgrounds, and whatnot, and seeing them all come together for a purpose is very powerful to me, and I long to see our country like that again. And where it's like, hey, at the end of the day, we're all human beings, not even just Americans, but human beings. And my hope is that our music can kind of transcend to all that bullshit, and you know, and just put horn up in the air and mosh, you know, every night. So that's kind of what that song is about, is, you know, just more speaking directly to the humanity in us and pleading to treat each other with some love and respect, and not using the excuse of like, well they did it first. It's just like, who cares, man? Like, yeah, you know, if you really are a human being and you know, step up. It's time to step up.
Oh, there you go. Well put, sir. Well put. And you hit on the head, the division of the country is just insane right now. But, you know, it's funny, you mentioned one of the things about two people left in the world and they got in their zombies and stuff. Have you ever seen the movie Omega Man with Charlton Heston?
No, I need to, because that's based off of one of my favorite books, I Am Legend, which obviously did that Will Smith movie. But I still haven't seen that original one. I need to check it out.
Oh, dude, you have to. It's really cool. It's totally 70s vibe, but they're not really zombies, but they're almost like vampire type people. It's kind of weird, but the Will Smith movie was quite a bit different with the way the creatures were and stuff like that, and well done. But Omega Man, I grew up in the 70s, so I was like, when I was a kid, it used to scare me a little bit because it was kind of freaky, right? But now it's like, why was I ever scared of this? This is nothing, but... It's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, and I love the... from what I understand, it's a little bit more true to the Richard Matheson book itself. And so, and that was more like vampires as well, as opposed to like actual zombies as depicted in the I Am Legend Will Smith movie. But no, that's something I definitely need to check out. And yeah, you got to love the 70s horror stuff, because I mean, special effects weren't as prevalent back then. So, I mean, you even look at something, I think The Exorcist was in the 70s too, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that shit was scary. So,
yeah,
I mean,
dude, it was so realistic.
And you look at it now and you start giggling, you know, but like back then, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, you would shit your pants.
Exactly. Dude, and you had like the blood that looked like blood, not the CG shit that you're exactly. Oh, I can tell that's fake.
Exactly.
I'm the same way. Well, hey, Joe's getting thirsty and so am I. Mr. G. John, are you all right up there?
Oh, I need a cigarette. I think Joe was staring at me and made me feel a little bit awkward.
Joe, you see the booth behind me. It's kind of glass, dark glass, but I know you were wondering what was going on. Apparently, John gets super excited when I open a beer. So I'm sorry you had to hear that. And if you saw anything, just try to wipe it from your memory.
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone. All right. Today, from New Magnolia Brewing here in Houston, Texas, I've got the Ennio Pils. Pretty cool can. It almost looks like a Clint Eastwood movie or something like that. Him in the desert like a cowboy. Italian. No, like an Italian spaghetti western.
Yeah.
Yeah, so very colorful. Let's see what the beer looks like. And Joe, you mentioned that you're not a huge drinker. But if you were to drink beer, what do you think? Look at this bad boy. Nice and golden.
Yeah, I don't, I would say that I definitely do drink beer, just not as often as I used to. But
oh, I got you.
Yeah, but that's a Pilsner, so that's definitely up my alley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so like I'm definitely kind of into light beers, anything that feels like crisp and refreshing.
Oh, dude. This is right up your alley then. So I tell you what, just looking at it, it's very beautiful golden. You can see the carbonation going up to the top of the glass. There's no lacing. There's no head on this thing. But actually, if you go to the brewery, you can get a Czech style side pour where they give you the rich, creamy foam on top. Oh, forget about it. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. This looks good. This
aroma, looks nice, crisp, like Joe said, Pilsner. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, my God. All right. I'm going to bring you a can of this when you come to Houston.
Awesome. Yeah.
A good, solid Italian Pilsner. A little bitter on the finish. Just light and crisp. I mean, like a summer day, crushable. You're drinking all day, enjoying life. And I'm going to give it a 4. John, hit the horns.
I'm still cleaning up, but let me hit the button, damn it.
Okay. Well, enough of that. So, Joe, what we do after the beer of the show is we play a song. So, you did some homework for me, and you picked some bands. What do you want to play? Let's play some.
Yeah, I want to shout out our brother band, a band called The Ongoing Concept, and the song I selected is Failures and Fakes Again. And I just want to send my love to those dudes. And I think they're a band that a lot of people will really like, and one of the best live shows that I've ever seen.
Let's check it out. I gotta keep on trying. They're cool. I watched the video. I did like them. I thought it was interesting the type of music they play. They had a Hammond organ in the song. And then the video is just insane with them in the pool and changing from like scruffy to clean cut and stuff. It was a lot of fun. It was a really cool song. I dug that.
The ongoing concept. Yeah, they're great guys, and their bass player, their guitar player, has filled in on for us on a couple of occasions, and they're just one of those bands that I think they just need the right moment, and I think they're really going to take off because they're also a lot of fun live too. They kind of have like the, you know, feelsy kind of like, I guess like kind of funky, you know, they're kind of like the Bruno Mars of post-hardcore, in my opinion. And then, but they also, they have all those pop elements, but really cool bluesy looks. And then, but then they also have some screaming parts, and live, it's nonstop energy. So,
have you guys ever played with them, or are you just a fan of the band?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
We did a tour last summer, and we did a couple of dates in the fall with them, and then this summer I think we're gonna it seems like we're gonna end up linking up, so we're pretty excited about it. They're from Idaho, and so not too far away, but three of them are brothers, and two of those brothers actually directed the music video for First Light, the first single.
Oh wow, okay, nice. Yeah.
So again, we're incredibly close with those guys, you know, so it's one of those things where it's like I have to shout them out because, yeah, we love them dearly.
Well, I want to ask you something real quick. A lot of people, if you don't know Lightworker as well as I do, they are a trio. So mm-hmm. It's Grayson, Ryan, and Joe. So when you guys tour, or actually before we even talk about touring or playing live, who does the bass? And I'm sure Grayson does. Do you play guitar on the record? I know you said you write on it. Do you play any, or is it all Grayson? And who's playing bass?
Yeah, so on the first record, I did play some guitar. On this one, I didn't. But Grayson does all the stringed instruments. And then obviously Ryan's on drums. We are officially, as of right now, a trio, but we are definitely looking to fill out the band and find the right folks that can join and bring the rock with us, you know. But we're definitely taking our time. The three of us, me, Ryan, and Grayson, we believe and it feels like a family, and therefore making us kind of like the core of the band. So anybody that we invite, we want to make sure that they're going to be our brother or sister, you know, because, you know, touring isn't easy, and who you surround yourself with is very important when, you know, somebody wakes up on the wrong side of the bed, you know, knowing how to support that person to make sure that they can get through it and have fun on stage that night is very important. Or if somebody's not feeling well, you know, knowing how to pick up the slack. And so we've been very choosy about that. And, we're in no rush, but, as of right now, yeah, it feels very complete with, having the three of us in the band.
Awesome. Because you've got a lot of touring coming up too. So I kind of wonder if you look for that permanent guy now, or you just kind of borrow from other bands that you're friends with and say, hey, you want to join us for this round of dates and stuff like that. And I was going to mention, you mentioned he or she. A lot of people are like, well, it's all guys, so it's going to be... No. There's some really good female musicians now. And I'm thinking of the bass player, the girl in Dragon Force. She's amazing live. And brings it, great stage presence, can play, keep up with Herman Lai. Oh, my God. Boy, those guitar players, it's insane. But is that kind of what the plan is for the upcoming touring? Just kind of pick and choose guys? Or are you actively auditioning or no?
All of the above.
Oh, got you.
Yeah, we've got some folks lined up, and you know, we'll kind of go from there. You know, like I said, we're very happy with where we're at as a three piece. So it's a matter of just, you know, when we go out on tour and whatnot, and that person's trying out, if they're, you know, if we gel, if we vibe and they're having a good time and we're having a good time, but also, you know, getting shit done, then like, hey, let's go. Let's have a good time. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, and it's all about personality, getting along and stuff like that too, because you're on the road.
Yep.
Night after night, different cities and stuff like that. It's not that easy, right? So I could see that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like I said, everybody has their personalities and their quirks. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, they need to fit in like a glove. And you know, especially when you have a unit already kind of built into the band, you're joining a kind of a culture, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of finding where you belong in that is definitely important.
All right, Joe, I tell you what, I feel like more music. How about you? You're my co-host, so I'm going to let you play one more. But oh, you know what? I'm going to trump you. I'm going to play something real quick. If you know the band Era, there's a brand new single called Crawl Backwards Out of Heaven, which is brutal as fuck. So let's check out some Era. So there's some Era. My ears are bleeding a little bit. I don't know about Joe's, but Joe, are you familiar with Era at all or no?
Oh, absolutely. I have a large vinyl collection and I have, I think, about three of their records. So.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Solid band. I believe they're out of Dallas and the singer's in another band called Texas in July.
Oh, yeah.
And they're solid too. I saw them at a festival called So What a couple years back in Dallas. So really cool band. I've seen Era too. Era's, I've seen them twice too. They're really solid live as well.
Yeah, I've seen I have seen both bands. I saw Era with I think it was with After the Burial,
and
I saw Texas in July with Unearth, which was,
oh dude, nice. I was actually in Anaheim last December, and mm-hmm. I saw Bleeding Through in Unearth. I'd seen them before a long time ago, but holy shit, dude, they were so solid. And it was so weird. It was like Disneyland, House of Blues or something like that. I was like, yep. You see all these metalheads walking around, Mickey and Minnie and stuff like that. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, we actually played there last July too.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, we played the New Parish Room at the House Blues, and that was sick. But I love the new Unearth record. It is so sick. It was one of my favorite records of last year. That song Mother Betrayal is just so dramatic and just you know, I don't know, it's just I just that's the style of metal that I love, you know. It's just stuff that just like pummels you over the head, and it's just like not afraid to be, you know, like to kind of almost make you feel comfortable. Though metalhead are definitely, they're right at home with that. So
yeah, for sure. I tell you what, let's play that song. Let's play a little bit of Unearthed. It's been a while.
Hell yeah. Let's do it. Yeah.
you, and because you mentioned Unearth and you mentioned Jimmy Eat World, two different, way different bands.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, and my last guest, he's a guitar player, a guy named Adam Holland, and he played a band, an 80s band called Ballantine, where it's like melodic hard rock. And now he plays with Steve Ogieri, that sang with Journey on, you know, I think with him for like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years, something like that, right after Steve Perry left. And he likes heavier stuff. And I said, can you write in that vein? He goes, no, dude, I can't. All I can write is melodic AOR style music. So my question to you is, have you ever tried to write like a Jimmy World style song or something? I mean, your Lightworker's brutal. Don't get me wrong. But something real thrashy like Unearth, have you ever tried that? Or you're like, okay, I like what I'm writing here. I'll listen to this, listen to that, but this is how I write.
That's funny. I don't want to throw my bandmates under the bus. But I would say that on Burnscar, I mean, like, after that intro, that twin guitar intro, I mean, there is, like, it does pick up and it does have kind of that, yeah, like, really almost like, it's almost like a blast beat. And then there are a couple other songs on the record where there are a few blast beats here and there also.
Oh, sweet.
So I think we kind of explore a little bit more of the new, what's new to us, like another side of metal. And and just based off of how fun it is to play live and also the response, I think that's going to also be something that we're going to probably explore more in the future. Because, well, I see, that's the thing is that, like, yes, I love Jimmy Eat World, but I also love Unearth, and I love a lot of that Scandinavian stuff too. You know, like Soil Work. You know, and I mean, especially when they had Dirk, you know, on the not like prior records. I mean, there was a lot of fast stuff on there, that's kind of like my bread and butter. I really like the fast stuff that makes you want to feel like you're invincible and you can, you know, run like 20 miles, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting because I think the reason why Lightworker has our sound is because, you know, Grayson and Ryan really like more groove oriented stuff, you know. But I'm definitely the dude who's like pushing them to like go faster.
Yeah.
Like that's really, you know, like Unearth has a lot of that stuff, you know, where it's just like circle pits, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah, totally. Like
windmills, you know, and we were discussing it actually a few nights ago, and because we just got back from our first weekender with I Set to Kill. We have another one coming up, but they're even noticing too. They're like, well, yeah, that stuff is getting such a great reaction. So, and it's so much more fun to play live. So I think we're going to be, like I said, I think that's definitely something that we're going to be exploring a little bit more of in the future. Maybe not necessarily like thrash metal, but definitely the stuff.
Well, that's pretty awesome, man. The evolution of Lightworker getting heavier and heavier. I like it, man. That's pretty cool. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I think that's kind of what the plan is we want to get catchier, like with the melodies, but we also want heavier. One thing I know that's on the bucket list, so to speak, is to write a song that has no singing in it at all. You know, and I think on our new record, we're broaching that. We're starting to kind of nip at the heels of that. But you know, I think we're gonna, I think with the next record or next release, whatever it is, I think that's definitely gonna be something that we kind of explore. And I'm very, very excited about that because I've said this in a few other interviews and whatnot, but the cool thing about heavy music, whether it's hardcore, punk, metal, whatever, is that it's heavy music is the only style out of all of them, you know, jazz, country, hip hop, pop, blah, blah, blah. It's the only one where you can actually gauge a crowd reaction if you're a brand new band almost immediately. Because of the fact that if somebody gets that pit going, that's immediately like a salute to you. And other genres don't have that. So it's like you're up there and you see people clobbering each other to your music, like, you know, that's a really good sign. And seeing that happen with, we did see that with our older songs, but the newer songs are just, I mean, like people are just like nonstop. Like even played a new song this past weekend called Rusted Crown off of How the Beautiful Decay. And even during like the soft part, there's like a 5 second soft part that's being played, and you can still see people just hitting each other and stuff. We're like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you brave enough to get down there in the pit and sing with some of those guys? Or I've seen some bands that do it, but if I was a vocalist, I don't think I'd want to be anywhere near that nonsense. Well, I mean, not that it would be malicious, but if somebody was just out of control and didn't realize you were even there singing and they run into you or clobber you or whatever.
I'll say this. You're coming to see us in Texas, right?
Yeah.
You'll see.
Okay. Okay. I can't wait, man. I'm excited.
Yeah. It gives you a little more incentive to come out. But, you know, it's going to be a good time.
Awesome. Well, I think, well, let's jump into First Light, the other single, the first single that's been released from How the Beautiful Decay. I love this one. It's heavy and brutal. And I love the end with that really just brutal as fuck breakdown. I mean, it's pummeling at the very end. I was like, oh, shit, man. I feel like I just got the shit kicked out of me. It was so cool. I really dig it, man.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
But I dissected these lyrics as well because you were kind enough to share these. And unfortunately, my synopsis is very similar to the last one where I'm thinking zombie apocalypse, pandemic, 28 days later, the world is coming to an end. I don't know if I'm close or kind of proximity.
You know, First Light is, you know, this is, I guess, going to be the quote unquote serious part of the show, I guess. But that song is about a very real episode of me feeling suicidal back in 2022. Oh, and the song is basically about, yeah, my battle with that on Easter 2022. And, I just felt so low and I quite literally didn't know what to do. I had my knife on the table on this desk right here that I'm sitting at right now. And I just didn't, you know, I try to play video games. I try to watch TV, you know, try to go for a walk. Nothing was helping. You know, I just could not get this thought out of my mind that I just didn't want to be here anymore. And so, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to try to see if I can write lyrics right now to this song that didn't have lyrics yet. And they happened to be for First Light.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics for pretty much the entire song just poured out of me that day. And you know, I was just sitting here listening to the music, and yeah, I just came up with all the melodies and everything like that. Like, the chorus melody did not change from when I sat here mm-hmm. in this place. And a lot of it was virtually untouched.
Wow.
It was just the most raw moment, I think, that, I mean, obviously I had to go record it later, but it was the most raw moment, I think, captured, you know, it was genuine, you know, from my mind and my struggle to what was reflected in the song. And lyrically, you know, the verses are about, like, hey, I don't think I'm gonna make it.
Yeah.
But what I did recall while writing the lyrics, and I was just, you know, writing down all of the negative shit that I was thinking, but then I realized, like, hey, you know, and a lot of my, I'm a huge, like, movie guy. I'm huge into just good storytelling and books and you know, and whatnot. And one of the consistent themes, and I think some of the greatest stories ever told, was when characters are going through crazy stuff, like in Lord of the Rings, or you even look at, you know, like some of the Narnia books, which is stuff that I grew up reading, you know, and or watching once they made the films and whatnot, or you know, The Matrix, whatever. And the characters are just at their lowest, but a lot of the things, especially in more traditional literature like Narnia or Lord of the Rings, they say if we just make it to First Light, we'll know that, you know, we've made it through. And that's kind of where I got that concept from, where I was like, hey, if I just sleep on this tonight, I know I'm going to feel better tomorrow morning. I might not be 100%, you know, like, fixed in the head, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be 100%, but I at least will feel refreshed and feel like I have the strength to fight this feeling. So, and obviously, writing the lyrics helped me out a lot. I went to bed early that night, and the next morning I was like, fuck yeah, I feel a lot better.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
And that's part of the reason why that final breakdown is just three simple words, which is resuscitate, breathe again. And to me, it's just kind of almost significant of, I mean, and you're right, it's very volatile. It's one of the heaviest parts that I think Lightworker has ever written. And it's because it's a heavy subject, but it's also kind of that voice inside of me saying, like just yanking me out of that shitty place.
Yeah.
You know, and and I think it's almost kind of like significant of the song to be like the heaviest part, but it's the most brutal, but it's the most positive lyrics, and they're just three words. It's just kind of like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Like, you're gonna beat shit out of those negative things, you know?
Oh, that's awesome, and it seems like you gave yourself therapy by writing those lyrics. That's how you dealt with these feelings. I mean, there was nothing that could preoccupy you but that. And I thought that's really awesome, really beautiful. I have friends that suffer with thoughts of suicide and stuff like that, and the way they deal with it is interesting. I went through a bunch of bad stuff, and the microphone, me just spilling my guts about my personal life, is a way I've dealt with depression or getting out of depression, stuff like that. But now, I guess my question is, you know, when you go up on stage and you're singing First Light, do you get emotional, or how do you feel when you're singing? Because I know I can tell by what you just told me, it's huge. It's a huge part of you. It basically saved your life. writing the lyrics that night and getting your feelings out on paper saved your life.
Yeah.
So how is it singing live?
The third time we ever did that song live, I kind of, one of my friends in another band that we were touring with, told me, he was all like, yeah, you know, you were up there doing your thing. And then when you came to the new song, you just went into beast mode.
Oh, really? Wow.
And yeah. That was me actually just like, I actually started crying on stage. It's kind of hard to tell the difference between the sweat and the tears, because if you've been to a live show, you know that we're throwing down. So, and I actually, my glasses flung off my head. And it felt very, very good. But I think at this point now, and that was before we released the song. Mm-hmm. But I think now that it's out in the world and whatnot, it does feel good to play it. But I think the more I kind of do these interviews and the more that people actually read the lyrics and whatnot and kind of tell me their stories, if anything, I'm just like, dude, I'm so glad that it's giving people something to lean on.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's a song of hope. And, you know, if somebody can feel that among their desperation, then cool. Like, I don't get taken back to how I felt like that, you know. The song has transformed into, like I said, a song of hope. And so, if anything, it's just a celebration, especially seeing people, like, moshing to it and, you know, like, people singing to the chorus now. Like, it to me, it's just more of a song. It's a celebration of life, really.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. That's a great... Thank you for sharing that. That means a lot that you would share that with us. That's pretty amazing. I'm so glad that you ever came. I'm sure you still have your days like we all do, but it's great. You're helping people too, you know, and that's awesome, man.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's honestly what I look at Lightworker as. I don't look at it as a vehicle to, you know, for gimmicks I guess kind of like fame or whatnot. I play music because I love playing music and I like the purge of performing, but it, to me, it's just like, well, music has given so much to me. I'm hoping that, you know, my band can do that for folks too. And my favorite thing is honestly having meaningful conversations at the merch table about you know, what people are going through and whatnot. And I think that's something that, you know, is always at the forefront of my mind. You know, it's like, hey, if I've been given this platform, I better say something that means something.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's wasted. And that's just me personally, you mm-hmm. know? There's a lot of music out there that's a great time, and I think that has its value. But in terms of Lightworker and, you know, and especially considering how, you know, heavy we can get, I'm like, okay, I just want to write about my experiences. And if anybody else has had those experiences or similar, you know, like, hey, you're definitely not alone.
Awesome, man. Well, I tell you what, let's play some music. Sure. You did your homework. You have more bands to play. What are you thinking? What are you feeling like hearing right now?
So I guess on the subject of a lot of this mental health stuff and whatnot, and one of my favorite bands is a band that has been together for over 30 years, and they're called Hot Water Music. And they're
30
dropping
years, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're from Gainesville, Florida, and they kind of mix like hardcore punk and they've gotten more melodic as they've gotten older. They've always done a really good job of writing blue-collar lyrics about life and just simply existing through the hardship that life throws at you. And they have released a handful of new songs, but the song that I chose was Menace.
All right.
And it's a great song. I think it's a catchy number. But every time I hear Hot Water Music, like kind of like what I hope my band is for some other people, that's kind of what they do for me. It's like, hey, they're beautifully poetic, hardworking dude lyrics, and that provides some sort of North Star, you know. So.
All right, some Hot Water Music. First on the Ragman Show, this one's called Menace. Let's do it. Joe, I had another question. You mentioned that you're really getting into it and your glasses fell off.
Can I interrupt?
Go ahead.
I think you just did, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a personal assistant?
This? No.
I've got two of those, sir.
John, get to it.
So, you know, I could go on tour with you guys for a small fee and be behind you and hold your glasses on while you sing. Would that be an option?
They're a serious band, John.
I'm asking a question to him, not you, sir.
Joe, I don't know if he would even respond to that or not.
Oh, man. Well, I started to wise up and I got contacts. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I think I'll be good. I tried them out on this past run, and it was really nice to be able to see people and not have to worry about destroying my glasses, you know, and not being able to see the rest of the tour. But I appreciate the offer.
Just for a small fee, I could tour with y'all and make sure that your contacts are clean.
I think he's trying to go on the road. But I just got to warn you, this guy, wherever he goes, he plugs up plumbing. His shits are so huge, I guess with all the colonoscopies or whatever. He shut down clubs in Houston.
You have no clue, sir.
Dude, it was all over the Houston press.
Fake news. I got to go take a shit.
He's shitting again. Whenever he gets nervous, he's gone. Thank God.
Well, good luck, sir.
Well, that's cool. I was actually going to ask you about the glasses if they fell off, because I see you get hardcore in the videos and stuff like that. So I want to ask you about the videos. Did you shoot them both at the same time, or were those separate shoots?
Funny enough, Burn Scar we thought was going to be the first single off the record.
Mm-hmm.
And then after some discussion with the label, everybody felt that First Light would probably be a better first one, because it kind of hits quick and fast, and then you're kind of out, you know. And whereas I think Burn Scar requires, I think, a little bit of a, you know, it's not necessarily a slow burn, but there's a lot of peaks and valleys, you know.
For sure.
Yeah. So First Light was one of the things where it's like, hey, it's been 3.5-4 years, we're back. You know what I mean? And then after that, it's like, okay, we've properly acquainted ourselves again. Like, here's another one, you know?
Yeah.
So, but we shot Burn Scar first, and then we shot First Light with our buddies in the ongoing concept, Dawson and Parker. So, first one was shot in Hollywood,
And then the second one was actually on location in Idaho.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I know Burn Scar, there's actually some pieces with actors and stuff like that. Do you have any input on that? Or are you like, oh, we really need actors to show this? Or do you just want more performance?
For that video, the director, his name is Jake, kind of gave us the pitch. And then we he was like, this is kind of what we're thinking. We're just like, all right, yeah, that sounds cool. And, you know, they found the location and we actually did meet the actor and actress.
Oh, nice.
In that video. That was all shot in one location that had like a lot of different rooms. And, it was a cool little place. And then First Light was shot in the Schultz brothers' parents' garage.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
It was cool, like, because they had like a super elevated roof and it was very DIY the way we did it. And that music video was completely self-funded too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Solid State paid for the Burn Scar video and we paid for the First Light one because we just knew that we just needed to have that additional content and you know, we really believe in this record, you know, and we really wanted to make sure, you know, after you know, us being kind of a COVID band, meaning that, you know, we obviously had our debut come out, you know, smack in the middle of 2020, we didn't really get an opportunity to kind of explore our options, you know. Mm-hmm. And the Empire music video that we did for that record that, you know, came out much later because of everything that was going on. So with this one, we were just kind of like, you know what, dudes, we're going to do it up. And so we decided to just really try to give our listeners everything that we potentially could with what we have, even as a smaller band. But the reception has been amazing. The support has been amazing. It's been a really, really overwhelmingly positive feeling these last few weeks.
That's awesome, dude. And I would say, and I think I mentioned this to you when we were just texting each other, that I think YouTube's the way to go. It's such a great medium for bands to see these bands perform, even if it's a cheap little performance video or like a lyric video or something like that. It has it up there, so if they hear like Burn Scar, like, well, what else do they got? And if you're putting out a lot of content, I don't know, some bands are doing a video for every song almost, and you almost get the full record and you get the visual too. So at this point in time, unfortunately for the artist, it's super hard for you guys to make money. You record this record, you work so hard on it. Everything's like Spotify, you get pennies probably for plays and stuff like that. And then you don't really sell physical copies. Maybe you do it shows. But you got a label, so I'm not sure how much you get from that. But I guess mainly for you guys, it's mainly merch, like your shirts and stuff like that, that you can kind of make your money to be able to tour and stuff like that. I'm not sure. I know back in the day, labels gave a lot of support for tour support. I'm not sure if they do that so much anymore, but you're like the band manager, right? So you have to deal with all this and more. I've thrown a lot out at you, so just if you could just kind of elaborate on a few of those, that would be fun.
Sure. Grayson and I definitely do. We have management team too, and they're amazing. And then Grayson and I do a lot of the behind the scenes work as well. You know, at this point, I think, like again, kind of what I said earlier, you know, we're not doing this to be famous or whatnot. We just do it because it feels good. It feels, you know, like we believe in our music, and we believe in connecting with people. So at this point, I think, we are definitely fortunate enough to be on a label, and they've been good to us. But we also look at it like, hey, you know, these are just the things that you got to do. You got to hustle. I mean, it's the same thing with anything else, you know? I mean, like, if you want to be a lawyer or a doctor, you still need to invest in, you know, getting your degree and whatnot. It's not like you can just go on YouTube and just, like, you know, figure it out and then just, you know, yeah. It's like, I got, you know, my YouTube university degree. and on top of that, I don't know if I want somebody who learned how to operate on YouTube, you know, like, I don't know if I want them operating on me, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
But, you know, I mean, there's some sort of sacrifice when it comes to any of this stuff. And, you know, you either have the motivation or you don't. And, to us, we, you know, it's, I think our cup is overflowing with motivation. And, you know, we, at this point, you know, we just encourage people to, you know, if they like the song, you know, just, share it with your friends and come out to a show, come hang out with us. I, you know, we're definitely around, you know, we're not doing that VIP thing. You know, it's for us, it's like, hey, just, yeah, if you want to come hang out and have a conversation, then just say, hey, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we've kind of lightly discussed before, where we're just like, I don't think we'll ever kind of be a band that does that kind of thing. You know, at least we'll definitely do everything in our power not to. And if we end up doing some sort of VIP thing, we'll try to make it well worth it, whether it's like a mini, like, acoustic set or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I would personally feel wrong to charge anybody to shake my hand, you know, or, you know, get an autograph or something like that, you know? But, you know, and I understand why bands do it and whatnot. I mean, especially when you have families and stuff to feed and, you know, mortgages to play, to pay and whatnot. But I, you know, for me, I think I kind of come from more of a hardcore punk background, you know? So I'm just kind of like,
yeah,
you know, hey, you're one of us. And in believing in that, I believe that if you do like my band, that you're going to support us by buying a vinyl, buying a shirt or a hoodie, you know? It doesn't go unnoticed, you know? Every day after the show or the next day when we fill up the tank of gas, we're just like, that's because people have believed in us and they've invested in us as much as we have invested ourselves into the band. And we're supremely grateful for that.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, got a couple tours coming up. You're going to finish up some dates with Eyes Set to Kill. Looks like April. I hadn't seen any dates. I don't know if you're planning some stuff there or just getting ready for the Dream Awake tour.
April, we're taking a little bit of a break. It's been making sure that our album's coming out.
Yeah.
So the Dream Awake tour in May will be one of the many dates that we'll be doing over the course of the year. There's definitely some stuff that still hasn't been announced that we're working on. So don't fret. We just wanted to show Texas some love.
Hell yeah.
But we definitely have more planned, and the album's going to be coming out. We'll be at home to celebrate that, that way we can just interact with people online and whatnot. It's mm-hmm. That could be a good time. But and then in June we're going to be going out to Connecticut to play Capulet Fest, you know, with August Burns Red,
nice.
Or and a bunch of other bands. So that's going to be sick. Yeah, like I said, more to come. But April is just a little bit of a breather before the storm, you know, the oncoming storm.
Awesome, man. Well, last question. Do you have any crazy tour stories? One of the craziest things that's ever happened to you on the road?
I'm trying to think here. Nothing too crazy.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
John, we're trying to finish the interview.
I'm not talking to you, Ragman. Go fuck yourself.
See, the I pay him, and I get that lack of respect.
Can I continue?
Please.
Joe, have you ever, are farm animals ever involved on anything on the road? Just asking for a friend.
Sorry, what was that?
Are there any farm animals that have ever been involved in your tours on the road and weird stories about animal groupies and stuff like that? Just, I'm asking for a friend. I don't really know anything about the subject.
No,
no, absolutely not. Although it was cool though, because when we toured the PNW last year, there was a dog that was just chilling on stage for a little while during soundcheck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. Just a little golden retriever. But aside from that, no, nothing. But in terms of crazy tour stories, nothing too crazy. I mean, it's been a good time. I guess the worst thing that has happened is I got felt up in the pit.
Really?
Yeah, on Saturday. And I, yeah, that was weird. It was during the last song, and I was just like, what is happening? Wow. And I didn't know how to react. And apparently, like, I just said in the microphone, I was like, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
And then the lights all came back on. It was, oh, and wow, the music started. But I would say that was probably the craziest thing that has happened so far.
That's a way to finish this show. Joe, before we let you go, is there anything you want to tell the fans out there?
Thank you so much for the support. Keep streaming First Light and Burn Scar on your preferred streaming service. Check out the music videos for both of them as well. Burn Scar actually does have a brand new music video also that has just dropped, so make sure to check that out. You can also pre-order our brand new album, How the Beautiful Decay, which is coming out April 19th on the Solid State Records web store. So check that out. Give us a follow and a like on Instagram and all social media. And feel free to follow me and hit me up anytime if you want to slide in my DMs and talk lyrics or music.
Awesome. Well, Joe, we want to thank you for coming on the Ragman Show. We want to tell the fans, just like Joe told you, How the Beautiful Decay comes out on April 19th on Solid State. Make sure you grab it. But before we let you go, Joe and I are going to do something special for you. We're going to give you two big holds up. Nice.
Let's not be called.